Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is so great to see Hayden Thorpe. Welcome back to Australia.
Thank you.
Although you don't have the second part of your surname anymore, Hayden. You're not Hayden from Wild Beasts. Are you used to that yet?
I know. I'm married to myself now. I'm getting used to that. Yeah.
And it's nice to have you back, tail between your legs, I reckon, because you owe us an apology, because Wild Beasts never toured Australia for the last album, Boy King.
We didn't. I missed that. I missed you guys. We never did make it back, so I'm here now to kind of make repairs and heal.
Well, that seemed all systems go. I mean, the record still debuted in the UK charts at number 9 and all that kind of thing. So you guys went out on a triumphant note in Wild Beasts, right? It wasn't like you kind of dwindled to a stop, Hayden.
No, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we really stopped the band at a point where we were at our fullest and our best, I think. And I'm really proud of that. You know, I think history hasn't yet told us how bands should and shouldn't end. And we were a really puristic band, you know, we were fundamentalists. We did things according to our highest principles, and we maintain that.
Well, it's kind of rare for a band to go out before things start to unravel as well, Hayden. Like, you guys all went out on a strong note.
Well, you know, I'd been in the band my whole adult life, and we'd been together 15 years, and you know each other inside out. You know each other's, the shape of each other's skeleton, really. So there was a mutual understanding, and there's a mutual love and respect there that carried and does carry still.
Did you have a moment where you all looked each other in the eye and said, this is it, we need to stop now?
In a sense. I mean, fate is a funny thing because it starts to play out before you're realizing it. If a decision is made and a change is made, it's already beginning to happen before you realize it yourself. And, you know, if you're in the game with songs, and songs are of the subconscious, so it was playing out before I knew it, really. If you think about the last Wild Beasts album and the last song called Dreamliner, the last line I sing on our last record is, you can't come with me. And that kind of exchange of subconscious and conscious and living this very collective life, it's kind of beautiful. The whole thing felt really beautiful, I have to say, and I feel really privileged to have felt that kind of power.
Probably the least ugly breakup you'll have in your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, at times it felt like landing a jumbo jet. At times I was like, this thing is going to crash into the mountain, but it was really worth the care we took over, making sure we kind of stayed together in the right ways, even in breaking apart. I think anyone who's been in a band of any level will know that there is no relationship like that band relationship. It's not family, but it is. It's not a romantic relationship, but it is. And it's a friendship, but it's not quite a friendship. It's a business partnership, but it's not. You know, there's a unique cocktail of human connection there.
And so, Hayden, did you have designs on doing a solo record? Was it something you were thinking about, or did you actually resist writing songs as soon as Wild Beast was finishing up for a while?
Yeah, to be honest, for me, making music is a compulsion, and you can't rely on a compulsion. You don't know if it's going to be there or not. And I'm pretty superstitious. I didn't want to start making my bed before I knew I was going to want to lie in it. I certainly didn't want to have some kind of high-minded presumption that I deserved to make music, or that there was going to be an audience or anything like that. I really was a fundamental believer in just coming at this from a really human level.
So did you go into the solo record also with a simpler approach and method? I mean, so much of Diviner sounds like it was written on a piano. It's the most noticeable instrument on the record. Did you kind of sit yourself in a room for this album because you didn't have bandmates around you to kind of capture a bit more of an essence of what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think the piano really was a totem in my house. So it was a very disordered, chaotic time, the ending of the band. It was really quite disorienting. And a piano is the most earthbound object in a house. It's not going anywhere. It becomes this whale that sits there and demands your attention. And I wanted me and the song to be enough.
It feels like it's a far swing back from the end of Wild Beasts as well, because the songs on Boy King were sort of approaching sleek R&B and synth-driven grooves, and there was so much on a record like that, whereas this album feels like you've really done away with a lot of distractions, Hayden.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it was definitely an album written in the house, which means it doesn't present itself for the outside gaze. You know, these are
not for the club.
No, these are dressing gown songs. You know, these were songs written in my pants and dressing gown. And there's torch songs. They're supposed to soothe. They're supposed to quiet and they're supposed to comfort.
You still did let a few esoteric flavors creep onto the record, though, because you've got your atmospheric chamber pop instrumental, Spherical Time. So you had a little bit of fun with what you could get into the confines of a solo record as well?
Yeah. I guess I was trying myself on. It felt like for the first time, because when you're in a band, you tend to be governed by what's best for the band. You become accustomed to behaving according to the rules and the needs of a collective, like we all do. And I guess that took some figuring out to realize what is good and what isn't good.
So this is your utopia?
I guess so, in a sense, the utopia of one.
Yeah. Was Wild Beasts also, Hayden, getting in the habit of addressing big questions and themes lyrically? Because it's bigger, bolder songs, again, on Boy King. Tough Guy took on toxic masculinity, and there are a lot of big picture songs on that record, whereas it feels like the songs on Diviner are much more first person and directly specific.
Yeah, I guess they are confessionals in a way. It's funny because a band is, another term for a band is a collusion of egos. And, you know, when you're writing on your own, you have to kind of circumnavigate your own ego and you're kind of in orbit around yourself. And there's no nip and tucking there. It's very confrontational, I think, to sit. I found it very confrontational. I spent a long time on my own. I'd always been within a family unit, you know.
Well, you don't have other people to bounce ideas off as well. But no. On the flip side, they're not also sanding those ideas down.
Yeah, I would recommend it to anyone. It's good for the soul to sit on your own. And I also became kind of convinced that songs are less, you have less control over the writing of them than you suspect, because it becomes a form of divination to write a song. Songs are kind of the foot soldiers of the subconscious. Things emerge that you don't realize are there if you just let them. So my writing process, I guess, did change quite a bit. I became very superstitious about the song already existing, as if all songs already exist. You know, and you start to create this strange belief system with which you can conjure up these songs.
Well, it does feel with this album that you're realigning yourself. There's that line in the song, "My ghost had left my skin, Diviner, bring it in," which is sort of saying you need to find what's in yourself, right?
I think we all do. This is the beautiful thing for me, is I came to realize, after undergoing such a massive change, I realized that everything is always changing and we all abide by this illusion of permanence and ownership. And I guess I own my songs according to contract, but I don't really. They're in the ether. They're in the air. They belong in other people's minds just as much as they belong to me. And there's something really beautiful about that. And
you must have found that over the years, after you put a song out, everyone has different interpretations of it.
Totally.
100 people can have 100 interpretations of one of your songs.
And every one of those interpretations is absolutely 100% accurate according to them. Because music is not a construction of the ears, it's a construction of the mind and the body too. A song is what you make it. A song is your own imagination, your own mood, your own memory applied to this sequence of notes. And that's the beauty of it.
It's a very spiritual album in that sense, Hayden, and calling it Diviner. And as well, you went to a psychic, or you talked to a psychic while you were making it?
I did. I mean, I wasn't a superstitious person, and I'm not someone who kind of believes in an illusions of control over what happens. But I had a reading, and she mentioned Australia. And so I came here to make a video.
So that's why you came here before the record was out?
Yeah, because this psychic read Australia in her vision for me, and Australia's of significance to me. My mother's Australian, and you know, I have belonging here. I have a presence. I have an Aussie passport.
It's interesting you say that, because you did some prep work or even recording for Diviner back in America. You got a taste for it after recording Boy King in Dallas, Texas. You did some work on Diviner in California as well. So I think you're due to make a record here, Hayden, is what you're really being told.
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, there are crumbs of songs that were written in Sydney a while ago. The song Human Knot, the skeleton of that, came about in Sydney. I There is a force being here. I mean, my earliest memories of driving across Australia when there was a pilot strike in, I think it was 89 or something. And I'd like to make a desert album. That's one thing I'd like to do.
There's plenty of desert here to do that, Hayden. So I think that could be the case.
It's a place to come for that.
I do like the fact that you can take the boy out of England, but then still on Diviner, there's a song called Anywhen, which is a very English phrase to use. So you'll always have that little bit of Cumbria on every record,
totally,
right?
Totally, yeah. I mean, you know, no matter how many showers I have, I can't wash the pom off myself. I don't deem myself to be British, really. I'm much more specifically Cumbrian than I am British, you know.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of Australian phrases we could work into your desert album as well. Beauty.
Chuck a Yui. Track one.
I would love that to be the name of the second album, Diviner to Chuck a Yui. Well, it's so great to have you here, and I hope you get to tour the record in Australia at some point as well, Hayden. We might have a listen to Stop Motion off Diviner now, but let the psychic tell you. Come back all the time. This is Hayden Thorpe on Static. Thanks for the chat.
Oh, thank you.